I'm going to the gas station. Stop number one. Mother effing gas station. Put gas in this car. And then I don't know what'll happen after that. Like, shit, I, you know. Anything is possible, really. I have a drink with me, so I don't even need to go in and get anything. I mean, I could go in and get something and then double up on energy drinks, but I don't need to do that. I'm not going to do that, in fact. And I ate a hearty, filling breakfast, so I don't need to go in there and get, like, some kind of weird protein bar or other sort of thing. I'm fine. I'm doing all right. I don't need anything from the gas station. Which is precisely why I should go in and buy, like, 9 drinks. 2 cans of 4 Loco, please. I've got an 11 a.m. meeting that I need to not remember. Okay, gas station. Okay. All these tangled up wires. That there. Okay. All right, well, I got gas. That's pretty cool. Gosh, what else? Podcast to go up today. You know, we talked a bit about Metal Gear and Fortnite on that. You guys saying there's going to be a new Platinum game at E3? Is that, where is that coming out of? Who would publish a new Platinum game? That's the interesting part of that, right? Start to narrow down what a game could be. IGN is reporting it. Nintendo. Oh, huh. Well. What would that be? New Metroid, there you go. Platinum developing New Metroid. You heard it here first, I don't know. Did they buy the Bayonetta IP from Sega? I wonder if they would fund something like that. So I guess Sega would still have to be involved for a Bayonetta 3 to happen. Well, who knows? Oh, wow. Why is there traffic right here? That's... Anyway, I played the Phantom Pain. It's weird. It's like Ground Zeroes is the Gran Turismo prologue to this being the full game. It's pretty much the same thing, just longer and with more of a metagame around it. I played from the beginning of the game, so you kind of can't really fault anything right out of the gate. But then the second mission I ran around on, I ended up stealing some guys. But you have to upgrade, I guess. Like, there's like a research point upgrade system sort of thing. Like, you have to research, you know, cardboard boxes before you can equip them, that sort of stuff. But yeah, you know, it's a big open world Metal Gear game. It's like Far Cry, but with stealth, Far Cry, but with Metal Gear's brand of stealth, I guess I should say. You know, like, hey, I'm running up on this base. Hey, I'm going to tag all these guys, and so I know where they are. And then just murder everyone. And then I'm torn on that one because I think it's like it's really fun, like the activity, you know, the missions and stuff that I played. I was like, okay, these mechanics are really cool and fun, but then the story was basically non-existent. And like, why did you go get Kiefer Sutherland if you weren't going to have him talk other than to say, whoa, when you're stopping the horse? You know, like what the fuck was the point of that? Anyway, I mean, we talk way more about it on the podcast this week, but it, you know, it's like, why? Like, it's not what I, you know, it's not really what I want out of Metal Gear in some ways. Or I guess that's the thing, if they had called this like Peace Walker 2 or something like that, or kind of tied it to that stuff, like, you know, then the expectations are different for story, and I think that, you know, it changes a lot of stuff about that game. But by calling it Metal Gear Solid 5, the follow-up to Metal Gear Solid 4, a game that was nonstop crazy story, long-ass cutscenes, and ridiculous and beautiful in its own fucking fucked up way, then you're like, well, wait a minute, why the fuck isn't this guy talking? Like, what the fuck's going on? Like, this is nuts. Why, this is not... it's a very different thing, which, that's fine. It's just weird. I don't know. If I hadn't really enjoyed the gameplay, I think I would... Well, whatever, that's... Then this thing wouldn't make any sense at all. But, like, the open world, like, run around, do stuff, like that, you know, jack fools, like, that stuff's fun. But, yeah, having the lead character basically become a silent protagonist... for no, like, discernible story reason is insane. Like, you have characters kind of yelling at him, like, you know, like, in cutscenes, and, you know, Snake is just staring back at them, like, no emotion, no, like, animation on the face, really, like, nothing, just stoically, just staring, not acknowledging, not going, yeah, or going, no, just silent. Like, what, why? That doesn't... Like, it doesn't make any sense in this conversation, given the context of what has happened. You know, it just, it was really weird. I don't know. It's a weird change to make at this point. But then, like, you know, you finish your missions, and then, like, it seems like the mission select menu is just, like, you want a helicopter, and then you pick a bunch of missions from there. You know, just between missions, it rolls credits, has its little TV episode presentation style, and dumps you back into the helicopter to pick another mission. And if you want, you can go back to your base and look at how it's going with all the people you kidnapped. But yeah, it's a really strange product. And, like, set against the backdrop of, like, you know, the Kojima stuff, it's even weirder, you know? But I enjoyed how it played, you know? Like that stuff seems good. There's a lot of good... So, you know, like, Ground Zeroes did it, where you kind of snap into slow motions, like, was it, like, reflex time or something like that? When you get spotted, you kind of have a second to handle business before it goes into alert. And it's fun when you're, like, creeping up on a base, and they got a boombox, and they're listening to, like, Kids in America. And then you get spotted, and then everything slows down, and then you're listening to slow Kids in America as you shoot people in the fucking face. And you're like, you know what? This is all right. And then you steal the tape out of their fucking boombox so that you can listen to it. Like, oh, by the way, this is fucking mine now. Now I'm going to listen to Kids in America. But yeah, it just, it seems like a really weird, like, in the context of it being like a follow-up to Metal Gear Solid 4, it's a fucking strange product, because it is so different, so different. Early for a Walkman. Nah, it's like 84, I think, in the game. Which I want to say that fits. But I'm not positive on that one. But yeah, like, you know, just running up on guard outpost, or, you know, like, walking over a hill and seeing, like, oh, there's, like, two guys here with, like, a fucking machine gun emplacement that they're not on. They're just kind of, like, walking around. You know, it's like a little checkpoint, a little roadblock. There's just two guys walking around, listening to the radio, just pacing around, listening to the radio. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to fucking knock these guys out, attach balloons to them, make them fly away, and then steal their fucking tape. And then I'm going to go to the menu and make it so I'm listening to their tape. Fuck them. It's pretty good. It's real stupid. I just wonder if it will get deep into story stuff at any point, or not. Like, I played a couple hours of it. There are people that have played more and gotten deeper into the game, and I, you know, talking to them, it didn't sound like there was that much story. Like, you know, you kind of clear an area and get some more story. But it wasn't necessarily, like, a key part of it. So, so that's really strange. When I think about, like, it's because when I think about what I want out of a Metal Gear game, it's, at this point, it's ridiculous story nonsense. Are there story threads in the side missions? I don't know that there are story threads in most of the main missions. From the looks of things, you know. But, you know, again, like, I played about an hour and a half, 2 hours of the game. But that's, yeah, I mean, talking to other people that had played more of it at the other event they had, not the one that I went to. Yeah, it just didn't seem like there was a big story, you know. Like, the first mission after the prologue, like, kind of after you learn how to Fulton things and get back out in the field after that, and kind of, you know, sets the game in motion for real. Like, the first mission is like, hey, there's a high-ranking guy here. We need to get him. And you need to kill him. And then they kind of imply, because it's just after you've learned how to Fulton, they're like, it'd be a shame to let his talent go to waste, though. Like, kind of saying, like, hey, why don't you instead jack this guy and steal him instead of murdering him? And there's stuff like, at the beginning of the game, when you in Ground Zeroes, you could grab guys, bring them to the ground, and interrogate them for info. Well, they all speak Russian, and you can't speak Russian. So, like, one of the first side missions after it opens up is go steal a translator. But, like, the core of it is you're just trying to build your base back up. You know, you remember the end of Ground Zeroes, it's like, you know, your whole organization is getting blown up, and you're getting super fucked up by whatever troops is, American troops, isn't it? I forget exactly, but, you know, so this is you and your guys rebuilding that. So it's there's not that much story to it. It's like, we're taking on mercenary missions for money to build our thing. And, hey, maybe you'll find some, like, there's a lot of stuff that you find in buildings on top of rooftops and stuff. Like, here's some rough diamonds. Here's some, you know, organic compounds. And some of that filters into the research requirements for unlocking different weapons and items and stuff. And some of that filters into just raw currency. Like, it costs money to Fulton things. Every time you use the balloon, it's going to cost you a little bit. Also, so, like, the thing is like, so, Snake does not speak Russian anymore, I guess I should specify, because he has a bunch of fucking weird metal in his head now. Like, all the shrapnel from the stuff that happened to him, I guess, at the end of the last game has left him, you know, there's shit lodged in his brain. So he can't speak Russian anymore. Yeah. I don't know. It's pretty good, though, when you try to interrogate the guys that speak Russian. Like, Ocelot comes on and talks to you about how hard it is to be an interpreter. He comes on and goes like, oh, I speak Russian, but not, I mean, I can't, you know, it takes special skills to, like, interpret in real time. That's, I can't do that. We're going to need to, look, we're going to have to go steal somebody that does this, because I can't do this. It's a silly fucking game. Like, the opening to the game is very interested in, like, sunglasses and the brand of the sunglasses and all this other dumb shit. It's real kooky. In a way that I think, you know, is cool, but, you know, like, again, like, I kind of want story stuff. And look forward to Metal Gear 6 being a, Metal Gear Solid 6 being a pachinko machine. If you line up like 3 hind D's, then a bunch of balls come out. And then Fortnite might actually be fun. I don't know. I played Fortnite as well. I played it on a personal computer, a Windows-based machine. And, yeah, I mean, it's a co-op game. You know, you really want to play it with other people. It's the sort of game that I think, you know, people that have a regular group of friends and want to play, like, that's going to be the best way to play that game, I'm guessing. But, yeah, it's a real game. It's a video game. I can confirm. I was playing a four-player co-op thing. And yeah, I don't know. Fortnite is weird because like you get everybody together in a lobby or whatever, and then the host picks a map or whatever, and then you go in, and they made it sound like there would be other modes and stuff that they haven't shown. Like, the version we were playing had a little bit of age on it, so it sounded like even the versions that they were kind of working with in the studio were further along than what they were showing. But, you know, you have, like, a base. And you unlock, it's like a grid or something, it's like a series of positions where you can put buildings, and you unlock buildings and put them in your base, and you're not like running around here, it's just kind of a top view. It's a menu, you know, more than anything else. And you're unlocking characters, and you are, leveling those characters up, and there's a skill tree for those characters that will say like, oh, you know, they swing the sword faster because they're a ninja, and you expect this direction, or... Hey, the guy that's really good at building stuff is now even slightly better at building things, or, you know, like that. But yeah, when you get into it, it's a large environment with a portal somewhere in it, and you find that portal and then build a base around the portal to defend it. And then once you are satisfied with the base you have built, you walk up to the portal and activate it, and then, or, you know, put in, you know, like, whatever, hold the F key next to the portal, I guess, and then waves of enemies will start attacking you, and then you have to, you know, hole up in your fort and fight off the enemy waves, prevent them from getting to the portal, and then you win or lose. So you kind of have as much time as you want to go bang around on, you know, like, beat cars with sticks to make, you know, resources pop out, or rocks, or trees, houses, you know, just go beat the shit out of the environment to get enough stuff to build your fort. You also need to craft weapons and stuff out of that same gear, so, like, you know, you craft a shotgun if you have the right blueprint for it, and then craft ammo for the shotgun. And so, my problem with what they showed, and you know, and it's, you know, I'm sure it'll... you know, they'll have other modes. There's going to be some kind of competitive stuff in it. They didn't really show us any of that. But my problem with what they showed is that the fort you build with your friends to, like, to fight off this stuff is, like, totally temporary. Like, you build the fort, then you start the fight, and then when the fight is over, you're out of the level, and that's that, you know? It's like, you're not, it's not like Minecraft. You're not, like, building a lasting structure that you're like, hey, guys, we built this. You're just slapping something together and putting traps on it, or, you know, if you want to go that route, or, you know, you're building more weapons for yourself, or, you know, however you want to do it. And then kind of going from there. And then, you know, there's the free-to-play hooks are stuff like, you buy packs of cards, and then those are going to be, or, you know, some of those will be weapon blueprints and, different stuff like that. How long's a match? I'm kind of glancing down at chat occasionally, but only because I'm stuck in traffic. Half an hour, 45 minutes, something like that, you know, I'm trying to think, like, how long it was, maybe like half an hour, and there are harder levels that'll have multiple portals, so you have to defend two at the same time, and build a structure that is kind of handling that. It's not a MOBA, no, I mean, you know, it's persistent leveling. I mean, the multiplayer might have some more MOBA-like trappings around it. The competitive multiplayer, whatever that is, could have something like that. But it's a wave-based survival game, you know? Except you have to build the defenses from the ground up. And it looks nice. Going to show WWE 2K16 at E3. I bet that's not much of a demo. They almost never have the wrestling game at E3. Like last year, we had an appointment with them to talk about it, and they showed us WWE Supercard, a fine product, and then had a couple of screenshots of 2K16. So I don't know that that's necessarily, you know. Gonna be a big reveal, right? Crack this open. Let's do this. Fucking A. I'm trying to think what's left that I saw in kind of the week of pre-E3 events that I went to that is still embargoed and still, like, interesting. There's not actually that much. Like, the Metal Gear embargo is up now, so there's that. You know, Fortnite is interesting. I'm not 100% sold on it, but I had a lot of fun with that one match. So, like, do I want to play a second match? I don't know, but, like, the time I spent with it, I had a good time. But in terms of like stuff that I played, there's one thing. I just thought of one thing. But like everything that I saw has already been announced. It's nothing. I'm trying to think products I saw that had not been announced yet. Okay, actually, you know, there's one. It's not, you know, it's not a big deal, and I think it will be announced shortly. But I did see that. But yeah, it was like the Warner stuff, like, you know, was interesting because it was like Batman and Mad Max and Lego Dimensions, which was, I don't know that I think that's a particularly great thing, but and that they all said like, you can talk about that starting on whatever end of May date it was, and so. Metal Gear, which is today, Fortnite, which was yesterday, and I'm just trying to run through the rest of the week that I spent in LA seeing games, and thinking if any of them are, like, any of the stuff I played anyway is, like, big deal, huge stuff. That one thing that I saw that I had a real good time with. But yeah, it's funny, like, you know, like the Judge Week thing, the whole Critics Awards and the pre-E3 week, like, people are always like, oh, so what was Fallout 4 like? I'm like, no, it wasn't, like, Bethesda didn't show anything there this year. Like, a lot of companies didn't, so it's sort of, you know, none of the hardware manufacturers were there. Which, like, last year Sony had an event. But with Sony's first-party lineup being a little sparse, they say, maybe they just didn't have anything to show. Unless they wanted to just show all their indie stuff, but, you know, they can just show that at the show itself and whatever, so. So I feel like E3 this year is going to really come down to new announcements. I mean, I guess it kind of always does, but I don't know that there will be very many games that will be new announcements that will also be playable and actually coming out this year. I don't know that there will be that many of those. Anyway, we talk a little bit more about all that stuff on the podcast this week. That'll be up sometime today. So grab yourself a copy of that bad boy. Tell your friends to grab a copy of that bad boy. And, you know, listen to it, I guess. And, yeah, I don't know, like, for us, it's, like, packing up and, booking appointments and stuff, getting kind of the last little bits done. for that stuff, and then we, you know, we travel on Saturday. Like just about everybody is going on Saturday, which, you know, like for most of us, there's not going to be that much to do until Bethesda starts. Or actually, there's an event before the Bethesda thing that we'll probably go to. But yeah, it's, you know, will Call of Duty be at Sony finally if the rumors are true? I don't know. Yeah, that's, you know, my understanding is that people that went to the event before they announced the game played it on PS4s, which is sort of a weird change from how they've done it in the past, for sure. And you you have to start asking at some point if that is still something that matters in the grand scheme of things. Who gets maps first for Call of Duty? That's done very well for Microsoft for some time. You know, they've been able to establish the Xbox 360 as the place to play Call of Duty. The Sony versions of that game were a relative mess. But also, Call of Duty isn't what it used to be. So you have to wonder if Microsoft is, you know, fighting as hard to keep control of that relationship as they used to. If Sony would go after it with full fervor, knowing that Call of Duty isn't necessarily what it used to be in terms of sales. There's still some kind of prestige, I think, and in the there would be some weird. Sony would be able to get out there and say, now we have the maps. And then the Microsoft response would be like, yeah, we don't want the maps anymore, turns out. So, good luck with that. We had to spend a lot of money to keep that going, and it's been worth less and less to us every year. So, go with God on your maps first thing, Sony. I just wonder what the, you know, how the numbers work out on that stuff. So, I don't think that that's... You can't really make any, you know, draw any conclusions one way or the other about the strength of either console or, you know, or I just don't think that, you know, that's as big of a deal as it once was, the Call of Duty map thing. I say that as someone who really liked last year's Call of Duty also. It's a great game. But, you know, I wonder, you know, the stuff that I wonder about is, like, you know, is there going to be any tease of, Titanfall 2 or something out of the EA press conference or something like that, or, you know, or the Sony press conference, you know, because that game is, they're talking like that game is going to be multi-platform, so at some point it might make sense for Sony to show that, to say, hey, we got this Titanfall thing. But also at the same time, that would be them saying, hey, this game that you could have got on the other console, now we've got the sequel over here. Remember how the previous game was only on the other one? Yeah, that's a weird one strategically. I don't know. At some point, you could second and third guess your way into thinking every single move is a great or bad idea when you don't have the numbers in front of you, right? I mean, we could sit here and speculate all day long about how that stuff might work, but... unless you're actually looking at, how much is the actual spend? What's the co-marketing spend that Sony would have to pony up to get the Call of Duty maps? How much did Microsoft pay last year? What's the, you know, how does that fluctuate based on sales of the game? Or, you know, all that sort of stuff, you know? Sony pinned its hopes on Destiny, which, you know, for all my problems with Destiny, seemed like it was probably... probably a good move for them. I think that version of Destiny moved more units than the Xbox One version. You know what? I actually don't know that for sure. It's been a while since I've gotten a glimpse of what the numbers were. So, at some point, you know, like, the console war is silly and it's not really worth anyone's time. But, you know, when you start to parcel out the parts of it that actually are relevant, it's really strange this time around. Like, the particulars of the differences between the consoles, like, hardware-wise, like, don't really matter in a way that is meaningful to most people. You know, Microsoft suffered a lot of bad press and a lot of bad vibes based on the initial announcements of how the console would work with being always online, and, you know, that hurt them out of the gate, created a lot of bad will, and, you know, the momentum went all Sony's way at that point, and Sony's been kind of riding that really effectively. But also, Sony doesn't put out games, and Microsoft does. You know, like, Sony's out there talking about, like, oh yeah, or, you know, they're even willing to just say already that their first party lineup is sparse, you know, and say what you will about Microsoft stuff, like, you know, I don't think it's all, like, fucking gangbusters, but people like that shit. People like Halo, people like Forza, like people like Halo in a way that they don't like, that Uncharted never saw the success of a game like that, you know, like, it's not a one-to-one lineup, right? You know, Killzone, if you want to get more one-to-one, certainly never saw the success of a Halo in a mainstream sense. So it's weird in a way that, you know, like, Microsoft is in this position where they kind of have more games that they are producing themselves. And many of those are bigger names. Oh, guys, email just in. Sega announces Sonic Boom Fire and Ice for 3DS. Yes! E3 is saved. And it's not to say Sony has zero games. Like, you know, obviously they have some stuff. But then you look at kind of how they've supported the PS4 and what they've supported it with. And you're like, okay, well, The Order is not a great game. Drive Club was a mess. Like, you know, no one's really talking about Knack these days. Knack 2 coming soon, right? Like, they haven't done a great job of putting out their own games on their own platform. For whatever reason. I mean, you know, there's all the, you know, it sounds like the first party studios are kind of in a shambles. For a variety of reasons, but, you know. But, you know, hey, maybe when we're playing The Last Guardian this holiday season, everything will be different, right? What a boondoggle that's been. Like, people going crazy, digging for information about this game that, like, probably barely matters in the grand scheme of things. But it's become this fucking weird noose around their neck, this fucking thing that always gets brought up at every turn. The idea that they're still willing to say the words The Last Guardian at Sony is like, kind of nuts.
it would have been better off if they had just kind of come out early on and said, like, yeah, that, you know, there's some development issues with that game. We're putting it on the back burner. Or, you know, something very much like, hey, you know, it's maybe not fully canceled, but, like, we're not working on it or something. Even if they were still slowly working on it. I mean, I don't want to, like, you know, sit here and fucking talk shit about beloved games or whatever, but I never really cared about Shadow of the Colossus or Ico that much. And they weren't, like, you know, those aren't, like, touchstone products for, like, a mainstream audience. Like, those games are meaningful to a crowd of people, and I don't want to take that away from them or whatever, but, like, you know, The Last Guardian, you know, a new game from that mindset, from that team, from that whatever that is, I don't think that moves the needle in a real major way for Sony, you know? That's not some game that's going to come out and sell 10 million, you know, it's not going to be some big deal. And that's fine, I don't think the game has to be that, but, you know, it's been missing for so long that it, you know, that it gets hyped up by people in a way that, like, they expect it to be this big deal. But, like, even, like, let's say they at the end of this press conference come out and say, oh, by the way, one more thing, Last Guardian's coming out this year. Let's just say they say that. Like, so? You know, like, what is that game? Like, they still have to establish, like, what is this game? Is it any good? And now they're doing it with this, like, big, like, pent-up wall of people going, like, that thing's never coming out, fuck that, who cares? You know, like, people are going to be looking at it, expecting it to be some kind of mess. And, you know, like, I just don't think that anything about that is, like, that big of a deal. Other than the story, right? Other than the story of, like, hey, this game was in development forever, and, you know, like, it ran into some problems along the way, we did this, we moved it to this other platform, blah, 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 like, you know. Like, the trials and tribulations of that game's development are fascinating, I'm sure. And seeing it come out, you know, creates a real big curiosity. But that curiosity doesn't turn it into a big, huge hit. Which I just don't know that... what does Sony's first party have that's a big, huge hit? Like, Uncharted? That's not out this year. That Uncharted collection just made me sad. Seeing that get announced, you know, I was just like, fuck. Because think about it, you know, don't think about it in terms of, like, obviously a different team's working on it, and you're like, well, of course, you know, like, Naughty Dog is still working on Uncharted 4, blah, 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 like, all that, you know, Blue Point's doing this, or whoever, I guess it is Blue Point, right? Anyway, that's still a budget that got approved, that's still money that went out the door from a company that, by all accounts, doesn't have quite as much to spend as some of the other guys. You know, that's still the choice they made of, like, oh, here, let's make this kind of relatively low-cost Uncharted.